people. We should suffer.
All right, welcome to Mysterious Dreams, your number one and only podcast discussing cult cinema, movies, or entertainment in general. You think there'd be more movie podcasts? Movies are very popular.
Maybe everybody's tired of talking about things that are popular.
Yeah, as far as I know.
There's a couple that we listen to.
Oh.
There's one that I listen to.
I'm not familiar. As far as I know, we're the only movie podcast out there.
What about How Did This Get Made?
I'm not familiar with that.
You're the one that introduced me to that.
See, if you add the words, I'm not familiar with that, technically you're not lying, because you're not saying it's definitely not true. You're just saying you're not familiar with it.
Is this a movie podcast or a grammar podcast?
No, it's just a Trixie podcast. I want to tell people how to lie without lying. Lying without lying. That's the name of my autobiography.
Yikes.
So the movie we're going to be discussing today is Kill List, and we got a couple bonus films. We're kind of doing an independent horror movie wrap-up for a couple of horror movies we've seen.
All absolutely fantastic
horror movies. Yeah, it's been some great VOD titles. I said on Twitter that this might be the year I spend more money on VOD titles than I do at the movie theaters, mm-hmm. because there's just been some fantastic horror films, and the VOD selections have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be when I was a teenager.
Yeah, Grandpa.
Let me tell you a grandpa story. Sit on my lap, Sonny.
Spin me a tale, Grandpa.
It used to be a movie came out direct to video when I was like in my teens and even early 20s, and that meant it was just awful. Mm-hmm. That meant some action star that was caught banging an underage prostitute and blackballed from the industry. I was doing a film. Usually meant an action.
I think it's blacklisted, not really blackballed.
Well, when you're doing an underage prostitute, it's called blackballed.
Yikes!
Different. It's usually like an action film from Bulgaria or something, or maybe someone had to do something to fulfill some good behavior credits for probation or something. But now, direct-to-video, man, they got some good films coming out direct-to-video.
I think because maybe you don't have to spend as much money distributing and, like,
well, there's that
promoting and just, stuff. But they have more of a budget to, like, do what they want with the movie as opposed to, like, well, we got to have it this certain way for this kind of theater or whatever. I don't know.
I'm not smart enough to really understand the business aspect of film. In fact, not only am I not smart enough to understand it, I'm not that interested, to be honest. the business side of things, I hope good movies come out and I'll support movies I like, but I've never been that interested in box office numbers or the kind of inside scoop. I like movies, but I don't really care about how the sausage is made necessarily.
I care about how the sausage
unless it's is made. Unless it's a really good story, like Harrison Ford being sick, you know, during the sword fight in Indiana Jones. You know, I like a good story, little behind the scenes thing like that. But I'm not that interested in the trial and tribulations of what happens behind the camera.
Mm.
So that being said. The movie we're going to be discussing today is Kill List. We were going to be doing A Werewolf in Washington, our first film that was going to be streamed on...
Thank God we didn't do that, because that sounds awful.
Our first film that was going to be from YouTube, not Netflix. But unfortunately, I had no idea that PS4, for being a next-gen console, hasn't figured out how to do a YouTube app on that yet. You think the PS4, with as expensive as it is and everything, they'd figure out how to, you know, they get YouTube on that bad boy, but no YouTube on PS4.
How am I supposed to watch Nevermind the Buzzcocks now?
You're going to have to wait till they get it on YouTube, because I let my Xbox Live Gold expire. I have no use for Xbox Live
God
anymore.
God damn it.
Oh, my gosh. Keep it clean, girl. Damn. So the movie we're going to be discussing is Kill List, a 2011, I guess, a horror film.
Yeah.
It would be the genre.
I would say, yeah.
You can.
It's a British horror film.
Yep. It is a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, more than any other movie we've discussed so far, I highly recommend.
Definitely. Definitely. I absolutely loved this movie.
Well, I recommend it, and I recommend you watch it first, then listen to this podcast, because it's a great movie to go into cold without having to see the trailer, without really knowing anything about it.
And because, of course, we discuss the entire movie, so we don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah, in some movies it doesn't really matter if you know particular plot points, but for this film, I feel it does.
Yeah.
It's a film you're going to want to watch multiple times. I know I was trying to look up clues. This is my second time watching it. And just because of the nature of what kind of film it is, I was trying to look for clues and things that might give me more insight into the film.
Mm-hmm.
So it rewards frequent watchers.
Yes.
So the movie opens, domestic situation. A couple is going to have another couple over to discuss things and to do what white people love more than anything, drink wine and snipe at each other.
Oh, you white people.
We just love, it's just in our nature. We love drinking wine and getting out all our aggressions and our, you know, things that we're upset at, failures, anything we don't like. We'll drink wine and yell at each other about it. It's kind of it's definitely a white person thing.
I don't know. Mexicans do that too. We just drink tequila and yell at each other though.
Racist.
Yeah, okay.
They even had a great wine and yell at each other scene in that one horror movie from earlier, last year. You're Next had a great white people getting together to drink wine and snipe at each other scene.
Oh, that's right. I wonder how often that scene is in a horror movie with a predominantly white cast.
It's as much as, you know, we love it just as much as we love extra mayo on our Subway sandwiches.
Yikes.
So... oh man, I'm gonna completely forget his name. You're always better with names.
Oh my god, I didn't even know he had a name.
All right, we'll just say the main guy. You look it up on IMDb.
Yeah.
So we don't come off like complete incompetence. But there's some frustrations at this dinner stem from the main protagonist being out of work. He hasn't worked in 8 months. He's just come back from the Iraq War. He obviously is dealing with some frustrations due to the Iraq War. He even mentions out loud something that I think we all feel. Wouldn't it have been nice to go back and kill some Nazis? He says he got stuck with Iraq shooting at, you know, goat herders with FUBU shirts on and sandals. But
to interrupt, the main character's name is Jay.
Jay, okay, that's easy. So Jay is upset that he got stuck with a shitty war, you know, getting shot at by kids and goat herders. And... wouldn't it have been better if we could have killed Nazis instead? Which I say, Jay, yes. Everyone wants to kill a Nazi at least once in their life.
Yes.
I even get, because, you know, the darker side of small towns, I think every small town in America has some element of white supremacist. Hopefully not too much. But you see him every now and then with the shaved heads, the boots, and the swastika and white power tattoos. And something inside me... for my grandpappy who fought in World War II, I just want to stab him with an American flag and start singing the Star Spangled Banner or something. It's, they're very...
Even though most of those people are fairly, you know, they're crazy, batshit crazy, but they are fairly patriotic.
It's weird. I don't know. I don't
It's a very...
I don't think any
disturbed form of patriotism.
I don't think anything inspires more just absolute, not that I'm taking a hard line, like I'm against Nazis and white supremacists, aren't I special? I'm not saying that, but I don't think anything just inspires instant bile to rise on the back of my throat than like a Nazi swastika tattooed on someone.
You do realize that we have one of those people living down the street from us.
Yeah, no. And he mad dogs you every time you walk to work.
He does.
It makes... it upsets me. So...
Anyway, to get off our tangent...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm telling you. Anyway, to continue this story.
Oh, one of the interesting things about this film that I read on Wikipedia is the director filmed one scene with the script and then filmed additional scenes, letting the characters go off script and improvise. And you could definitely, especially in these early scenes, when they're just kind of sitting around talking over dinner, you can definitely feel that. It has a very kind of
improv
flow to it. And it's...
I liked it. I love movies that have that kind of feel to it. Because to me, it just feels a little bit more natural than if it was... going off of a script.
It's an interesting thing. So, Jay is offered a job by his friend named Gale. I wanted to say Gabe. I knew it was a G name.
It's spelled G-A-L, but I don't know how those fucking British people
We know why it's spelled, because you had a hard time with the accents. We had to put
The accents. I know. I watch a lot of British television, and even with as much as I watch, I could not understand their accents. They were so thick. I legitimately had to put the captions on, the subtitles on, just to be able to watch this movie.
So Gale offers Jay a job, and after some hesitation, he accepts it. You then find out they go and accept the job from their client, the person who...
whose character name is just the client.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They get a blood pact, kind of a deep blood pact, not even a just...
Yeah, that dude sliced the palm of his hand open.
Whew. That kind of stuff
intense.
will get infected, and I think it does at one point.
Yeah, it does get infected.
So then you find out that the two men's jobs are they're hitmen. They're going to be working on a list of three targets and make enough money to live off for a while. But the wife of Jay, you think at first that she's in the dark about what he does, but you find out fairly quickly that...
She's totally okay with all
of
this.
Yeah, she's supporting him in his assassination.
Hell, man, if you were out of work for 8 months, I'd be okay with you.
Maybe I'll find someone off the white supremacist who live in town. If anyone wants to pay, I'm kidding. I want to go to jail for you know, a couple reasons I would go to jail for, but not for making a dumb joke on a podcast. So
you wouldn't last a day.
In jail?
Yeah.
Is it really that bad? I think I'd go to nice people. I go to nice people. Who said that?
My dad.
I'm sure it's cool.
So anyway.
Three meals a day.
So they get a list of three people after their insane blood pack.
Yep. And they start working their way down the list. And the first and easiest target on the list is the priest. And this is you get a little inkling there might be something going on behind the scenes or something a little different.
Because I think Gal leaves the room.
No. This is when they're in the closet.
The priest
is in his room. Jay points the gun at his head, and the priest looks him right in the face and says, "Thank you," and turns around and accepts the bullet. And that's confusing to them, because that's usually not the regular response one gets when you point a gun at someone's head.
Yeah, I don't know if I could say thank you very politely.
Please.
It would probably be a little bit of sarcastic thank you.
Every orifice on my body would start leaking. Every orifice. Snot, throw up, earwax. I would poop, pee, everything. If there's a hole in my body, stuff would be coming out of it if someone had a gun on me.
Oh my God.
It'd be a very undignified death. So they just chalk it up to people being weird that the priest was seemingly glad to
be killed.
And then they moved on to their next target, the librarian. Now, the librarian, they searched his home while he was away, and that's when they make a very disturbing discovery of a bunch of snuff films in the guy's basement, a huge collection of pornography and snuff. I don't know if it... They never said specifically that it dealt with children, although by the way the guys reacted when they watched it.
Especially Jay, who has a child.
Yes. We didn't mention
fairly
it.
Fairly young son.
But Jay has a son, and he had a very visceral reaction to seeing this video, which made me believe
that it probably had to do with kids.
That it was a kid getting hurt. So they wait for the guy to come home, and then they just start, you know, they don't just cleanly kill him. They start torturing him, demanding to know where who he's holding the snuff films for, and, you know, who pays him to do this. Now, he's screaming bloody murder, and it's hammer time. They got a hammer, and they're busting him up.
Which never makes sense to me in these movies. Presumably, these people live in a neighborhood where they have other people living fairly close to them, and yet nobody hears anything. There's no, like, concerned neighbor coming and being like, hey, are you okay? Like, what's going on in there? Or, like, calling the cops or anything.
Maybe they closed the windows?
Yikes.
Yeah, it does seem fairly careless, but I think that just goes to show you how angry Jay was that he was willing to take that risk in order to hammer his kneecap. So they're doing that. He's screaming bloody murder. Gail goes upstairs to get something. And while he goes upstairs, the librarian says the same thing the priest did. He says, hey, thanks a lot. This has been great. I'm glad to have met you. You know.
Which was.
Three cheers.
Completely disturbing. Like,
it's a very.
With as bad as this movie gets, that part to me stands out as one of the most disturbing things to me.
It's a very. Because
the man is literally tied to a chair, bloodied, broken kneecaps, just absolutely in terrible physical condition. And he's still very calmly saying, thank you, it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, it's a creepy scene, and the violence in this scene is very disturbing. They do a lot of, steady cam on when the person gets hit with the hammer. You just watch it, you know, it doesn't cut away or anything. You just see the hammer connect with the flesh, and the sound effects are very well done. And you just, especially when Gail leaves and he gets infuriated that this guy's thanking him, he goes for the hand. Then finally the head, and it's just all very, very gory, a very disturbing scene.
And I love that the first thing that Gail says is that you're cleaning this shit up yourself.
And yeah, he says that, so they get an address finally, though, and they go to the, where they mentioned, where Gail says, hey, give me 10 minutes and follow in behind me. Gail, being a good boy, sits in the car, waits the 10 minutes, and follows, and just follows Jay's trail of destruction in this house. It's a pretty cool scene where he's just walking through this house, seeing all the bodies that Gail's just...
That Jay.
Like Miley... Yeah, the Jay, like Miley Cyrus, came in like a wrecking ball. I gotta give it up for the sea dog.
Oh, my God. How am I married to you?
Cyrus?
Anyway, it was a very cool scene to just see the amount of destruction that one person can do in 10 minutes.
Yeah. And so, Gail is, or Jay has done such a great job that Gail only sees him actually kill one person.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is kind of disturbing to, Gail, being a professional, that they're making things so personal.
Although I have to say, like, I can kind of, in a way, understand how somebody would be so reluctant to get back into this business. Because if you're that good, and you're stable enough mentally to be able to have a family... I don't know how you could balance that easily. So I feel like you have to give up one to have the other.
Although there was a little bit of backstory with the wife. She did mention that she volunteered for the Swedish Army.
Mm-hmm.
Girls aren't, I think all Swedish men, it's compulsory military service. I think it's one of those countries that like everyone does 2 years, every guy, not girls. So she volunteered and did God knows what. I don't know what the Swedish Army even does, but
I didn't even know Swedes had an army.
Yeah, they do, and they you can see how they work well together because if she sought those thrills out voluntarily, that you can see why
she would be okay with him.
Yeah, that they would kind of fit naturally. We should also mention that Gail has a somewhat creepy. A girlfriend that he brought by the beginning of the movie
named Fiona,
that when no one was looking, she went into the bathroom and put some weird symbols behind a mirror and hung the mirror back up and took a tissue of blood. And you find out as they're doing these assassinations that even though she broke up with Gail, that she is back with Jay's wife.
Just visiting, they're hanging bringing out. Gifts for the kid. And
so very odd behavior. Creepy.
She kind of looks creepy.
So they after the massacre, they go back to the house. They kind of recuperate for their last target. But they get very nervous because they have Jay has a very disturbing conversation with his doctor when he goes to get his hand looked at. That the doctor kind of insinuates and says these things that makes it seem like he's with the group that they were going after. And then they find their cat hanged at their doorstep, and they find pictures of them. So all these things that tell them that their privacy has definitely been compromised, that the people that Jay went after very harshly knows who they are and knows where they live.
Mm-hmm. So they try to get out of it. And don't they? They try to get out of, like...
Yeah, they're trying to get out of the contract. Very simply, hey, don't pay us for the last guy, just pay us for the two. But
The client
won't let him. He's a son of a bitch like that. He says, if you back out of this, I'll kill you and your entire family. Believe it.
Yeah, Naruto?
Yep. And so, anything to add, or...
No, I'm with you at this point. I do want to say, though, and I can't remember which point in the movie it is, but there was that really creepy scene where Jay is in the house and he's trying to get his wife to be like, look, I don't know what's going on out there. There's people out there, and...
Oh, you're just... That's the very end of the film.
Oh, then, yeah. Go ahead, then, so I can say what I want to say. Then.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I couldn't remember.
You're jumping way ahead. So,
yeah.
The third target is in a field, I believe. The third target is, like, fox hunting, or they're told he's fox hunting, or something like that. So, they go out into this field, and there's, like, these tunnels they have to go through. They get to this hunting ground, and then they don't find the target. What they find is this entire cult. Some of them are naked, some of them are just in, like, robes.
They got really cool wooden masks.
They got made of sticks. They got these really creepy wooden masks, or cool wooden
masks.
That
just really look like just sticks bundled together, and they look really cool.
I don't know if I can do the naked. I think I'd have to do the robe if I'm going to be in a cult. I don't know if I can be the naked.
I don't really think you get a choice. If you're just joining, I don't really think you get a choice.
You think it was like a hierarchy thing? You guys had to be naked?
Yeah. Totally. No. I totally believe that.
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Well, if I had a choice.
In my cult, that's how it would be.
Okay. Well, good to know. I don't want to join your cult then, because I don't want to be naked out in the forest. That sounds freezing. Not very flattering.
It could be in the
either.
Summertime. You don't know.
Well, it was raining.
Yeah, but it's dark. And firelight is very flattering to people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure not everyone is.
Torchlights are so flattering.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They take away 10 pounds of the opposite of video cameras?
Pretty much, yeah.
I've never heard this before.
You haven't been in a lot of torchlight.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Less history, more mystery. That's what I say about that statement.
Anyway.
And so they're so disgusted by this hanging that Gale makes the very bad decision to just spray the cult with machine gun fire, thinking that's going to disperse the crowd, I guess like any normal person would.
Yeah, normal people, they hear one gunshot, they're just like gone.
They're rabid.
Yeah.
But they don't do that.
Nope.
They turn and let out creepy screams and give chase, even though... some of them are being dropped like flies by the machine gun. They seem to not care at all as they're charging Gale and Jay. Now, we should also mention that Jay had sent his family to a cabin once... Yes.
Once he's found out, like, hey, we're being watched.
So,
we've got to get out of there.
During the chase scene, poor Gale gets stabbed 100 times and presumably killed. Jay makes his way back to the cabin to make a stand there, which, again, probably not the wisest choice. He finds out that as soon as he gets there, gets in the house to try to get the family out, the tires have been slashed. And so he goes out to try to take down the cult by himself, leaves the wife inside, and then you said you had a...
There was a really creepy scene where the amount of time he's in the house doesn't seem like a very prolonged amount of time. But he comes out and there's these torches just lining the walkway from the door. Just all around, it was really unsettling.
It's a very organized cult.
Yeah. Very quick, too.
Very fast organized. Yeah. I'm sure someone's like has to do their paperwork. Keeps them all online. Mm. Everyone always sees the...
What kind of paperwork would a cult even generate? It's not like you're going to leave lists and expense reports around.
You might.
I don't think so. Man, your cult's gonna get busted.
You're the one who said you're gonna start a cult, not me. So Jay gets knocked out by the cult. His little hunting expedition doesn't go well. His wife gets cornered in the house by cult members, although she does a good job and kills us in a couple of them. Obviously with her training. And then that leads us into the disturbing climax where Jay is being led out into a field, and he has to go one-on-one against a hunchback-looking fellow.
Yes.
Now, part of me wants to just leave the end, because if someone was...
with us up until this point, still
up
to
now, I still kind of want to save the end.
I'm okay with that. Let's just say you are not going to like the ending of this movie.
Well, if you like... Well, you could like
You're going to like the ending for what it is, but I didn't like it because I'm very sensitive to these kinds of situations.
So we'll leave it at that. And then the film ends. Oh, no.
What?
I was going to talk about some theories about the film. Let's just say something happens, and at the end of the film, Jay is crowned the king of the cult, seemingly. He gets a crown.
Almost like this whole thing was an initiation process.
Well, even beyond that, because it's not even like welcome to the cult. He gets a crown placed on his head, a crown of things. And
so you think maybe that's an indication of like he was involved in this from the beginning and like...
I don't know. See, that's I was watching the film a second time trying to see if there's any clues to like why the cult has singled him out specifically to be their new leader.
Are you kidding me? Do you remember the amount of destruction he did in like 10 minutes?
Well, he's good at killing people, but I think it's more than that. I don't know. I think you just kind of have to draw your own conclusions after watching it again. Why he's chosen specifically to be the leader.
Yeah.
Maybe if someone has
any... I think it's just because he's a mad niggerish killer.
Wow.
Hey, man. Oh, I do want to bring up this scene. At one point, him and Gail are in the hotel restaurant. And there's a group of people at a table, I guess next to them, kind of next to them.
Yeah.
And I don't remember really the whole conversation, but I do remember at one point, one of the guys breaks out his guitar and starts singing a very, like...
It's a Christian group having a Bible study at a restaurant, in an empty restaurant, and only Gail and Jay are the only other ones in the restaurant. And so when they go into a little worship ceremony, singing these kind of campfire Christian songs, go ahead.
Jay walks up and just pretty much breaks up the party, and what the guy tells him, well, you know, for some, God's love is hard to swallow. And Jay looks at him just completely deadpan without missing a beat, like, yeah, so is a dinner plate.
Yeah, that's a great line. Well, that pretty much wraps up Kill List, a fantastic, fantastic film. One of my favorite kind of horror movies. I always say, if a horror movie doesn't feel like a horror movie in the first 10, 15 minutes, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, because that means it's not going through cheesy cliches. Mm-hmm. It feels like the movie could go any direction, but it just introduces these crazy elements, and I really, really like that. And the characters
little
are...
little by little. And it didn't feel like that long of a movie.
It's a lean 95-minute film.
Yeah.
So it's...
But it doesn't even feel like it was that, though. It felt much shorter than that.
It's a very... There's not a lot of wasted scenes, not a lot of wasted dialogue, which is interesting, especially if you know, if they've improv'd a lot of this, you know, you're just hanging on every word. It's a great movie. And we move on. We're going to just briefly talk about a couple other horror movies we watched recently, starting with The Den, and The Den is a movie that is on VOD. I think it's probably on Amazon by now, but it's a found footage horror movie, and even if you're tired of found footage horror movies...
They do this in a very, very interesting way.
This is a very innovative found footage movie. It's about a girl who's doing a grad paper on
people's webcam habits.
Well, specifically like a chat roulette service called The Den that has become very popular. And she's going to try to make as many connections as she can for like a year or something like that.
Something like that. I forget the amount of time that she's doing it for.
And then just kind of like record and catalog people's responses and come up with some kind of thesis or paper on...
I don't really know what her
humans interacting... is. I think just to figure out, you know, the kind of people that are attempting to make human connections without...
Mm-hmm. Without having to actually leave their comfort zone.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to go into the details of the plot, but if you like found footage films, and even if you don't like found footage films...
This one, you should give it a shot. It was actually really well done. I enjoyed it.
All right, and to finish the podcast... we watched another horror movie. This one you can definitely find streaming on Amazon VOD. It is called 13 Sins. So 13 Sins is about a guy basically facing financial destitution. Job, rent, sick
he's
brother.
He's getting married too.
Sick brother, marriage. All these concerns and all these financial...
Burdens.
Burdens. What did I say?
Burdens.
What is that? Is that a word?
I don't know. Babe, you just talk sometimes. Oh. I don't understand any of the words you say.
Yeah, fair enough. So he has all these stresses, and so he gets a phone call from an anonymous person. Somebody
that literally sounds like a carny at a fair.
Huh. That telling him he has to go through these 13 trials, and each trial he gets more and more prize money, and the end prize is some, you know, like $5 million
something like that. And then, yeah.
And it's a great, I wouldn't say great. This one was good.
It was decent.
I don't want to be hyperbolic in my praising of these films. I would definitely say of the three movies we're discussing, the weakest of the three, but still a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kind of like, I would say, I don't know, Fight Club meets, Saw meets something.
Yeah, I think you kind of did it with Fight Club and Saw.
Huh. Just the idea of like going out in public and kind of doing these things that kind of mm-hmm. disrupt the status quo for money. This though, not just to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
But those three movies. If you're into a horror movie, Kill List, The Den, and 13 Sins, I definitely recommend all of them. And hopefully. In just a week or two, I'll be doing my first podcast, No More Mary, just for this episode.
Mm.
Wait, did we say anything about where we can find this episode, about who we are or anything?
No.
Oh my gosh.
You're slacking, man.
I am. Well, the podcast is Mysterious Streams. You can find us on iTunes, The Critic's Word, and Podmatic.
Although I feel like at this point...
You never know, we could have new listeners.
Yeah, but still... How did they find it in the first place?
Oh, my stomach gurgling didn't make it into the podcast.
How did they find us in the first place? Because they don't know where to look.
That's a good point.
Still, though, it is good to give shout-outs to especially The Critic's Word.
Yeah, they're the ones who
have made us a push.
Made all the magic happen.
Yes.
What was I going to say? Oh, yes. I will be doing my first the first Mysterious Streams episode without... The geeky senorita.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be taking a podcast off, and hopefully I'll be doing a radio with a podcast with Grade A Radio on Twitter. We'll be discussing the Canadian film, The Paperboy. And he just tweeted me today that he's going to attempt to watch it again. It's supposed to be a horrific, horrific, horrible film. But if you want to...
Thank God I'm not doing this.
But if you want to... I'll make you watch it anyway.
Probably not.
If you want to watch it, you can find it on Amazon Prime. It's going to be streaming on... that service, The Paperboy, and our first different co-host is going to be
mm-hmm.
Next podcast. Are you okay taking an episode?
I'm totally okay. That movie sounds awful.
All right. So it's going to be next episode's going to be a sausage fest.
Yikes.
And but hey, if you want to join in an episode of Mysterious Streams, if you have a favorite film you want to discuss, go ahead and tweet me a Mind Killer or about any of the films that we have discussed mm-hmm. and reach out and touch someone.
And don't touch people.
You can find you at Mrs. Mime Killer.
That's how you end up in jail.
Jail's no good, according to your dad.
Yes.
All right, so that wraps it up. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.
See ya.